Today on Real Radio.
Jesus is alive, thank God. He's there making intercession for me. He's praying for me. Let me ask you this. Does Jesus know how to pray? Does Jesus get results when he prays? He's my intercessor. We need to hang our hat on this next verse, because not only is Jesus praying for us, but in Romans 8:26 it says, likewise, in the same manner, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray always, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be articulated.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Pastor Timothy. These are letters of encouragement to anyone in the ministry, which of course applies to every believer. In chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, Paul mentions not just prayer, but the different kinds of prayer, and prayer for those in our sphere of influence, even those in governmental authority. We're told that Timotheus was of Jewish descent from his mother's side, and verse 5 contains a declaration that anyone familiar with the Jewish scriptures would appreciate. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We need to pray for everyone. Saved or not saved, we need to pray for them. For the king, for all who are in authority, police officers, God bless them, God help them. That we, you see that word we, that literally, that in some of your Bibles it might say they, and that's a better translation. That they, those that curse us, those that make bad judgments, and vote terrible things into the Senate and House and law, we need to pray for them. That they, listen, this is heavy, that they may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in reverence. Now, certainly that can refer to us. But Paul's thrust is you pray for them. You pray for your wife. And guess what happens, people? You pray for your spouse or your boss and the blessing comes back upon you. You begin to pray for the salvation of your lost boss. That man will get born again, and God will see to it that somehow your life will be blessed. Now, that's not to be the motive to pray for him, that you would heap up a blessing. I'll pray for him so I'll get blessed. It's a missionary's heart, genuinely concerned about this man or this woman's eternal destiny, and you pray for them, and it just so happens that it begins to affect your life too. What happens if the mayor gets born again radically, or maybe he is, I don't know him. What could happen? What could happen for people who have very, very influential positions and they get saved like Paul did? Change the world. What a commitment. I'm so sorry, but I think the New Testament church is not so much a New Testament church. We have erred so far away from these things, and this is Paul's letter to a church that's just getting going. This is like the manual for church business, that they're to pray. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Back in the Old Testament, Job, in all of his terrible afflictions and all of his tremendous trials, he is sitting there and he makes this incredible statement, and I'll read it to you in Job 9:33. He says, if only there were someone to arbitrate between me and God, to lay his hand upon us both. Isn't that beautiful? Someone to remove God's rod from me so that his terror would not frighten me anymore. How many times have you cried that in your life? Job sitting there in his situation and crying out, oh, I wish there was somebody between God and me. Jesus is that go-between. That word mediator means to be a go-between, a kinsman redeemer, a reconciler. It can also be translated an intercessor. Now, I really like that. All of a sudden, in my condition, I have a mediator. It's Jesus Christ. He bridges that gap. He lays his hand upon me, and he puts his hand up to God, and he grabs God by the foot and grabs me by the hair of the head, and he bridges the gap, and he's the go-between. He is the reconciler, the intercessor, and I love this. I want you to catch this. In John's Gospel 14:9, it's the familiar statement. Philip says, when are you going to show us the Father? When are you going to show us the Father, Jesus? And Jesus says, have I been with you so long? Listen. Have I not been with you so long? He who has seen me hath seen the Father. Listen. The fact of the matter is this, people. You've got God the Father sitting on his throne. You got Jesus, who is 100% man, 100% God, who paid the price with his blood. We pray. We need help. We need intercession. And that's exactly what happens. Jesus sees our condition. He goes before the Father, opens up those doors, walks in, and says, Dad, it's me. Speak to you, Father, on behalf of Jack. That poor bugger needs help. And he's got immediate access. He's got God's ear. He's got God's hands and voice because of his own blood. And that is beautiful because he becomes my intercessor. He goes to God for me. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore he is able, Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. Isn't that incredible? Now, I really do not know the meaning of that word, of that statement. He ever lives to make intercession for me? Think about it. Jesus is alive, thank God. He's there making intercession for me. He's praying for me. Let me ask you this. Does Jesus know how to pray? Does Jesus get results when he prays? He's my intercessor. We need to hang our hat on this next verse because not only is Jesus praying for us, but in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, in the same manner, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how we ought to pray always, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be articulated. How can we lose as a praying people? Here's what happens. This is what it means. When you fold your hands and say, Dear Jesus, lead me, Father. Holy Spirit, dear God in heaven, cause my walk to be something. Show me what you want me to do, God. You know what happens in your Christian life? Jesus hears it and he goes, I like that. I'm going to add a little bit of this. I'm going to put a little bit of pepper right here. The Holy Spirit takes it and he adds his two bits to it. And it presents it before the Father in a prayer that's absolutely acceptable to God. That is good news. That gives us boldness. And let me put it, maybe you don't have to get down to this level, but I do because of my little brain. I see it this way. I can be standing on the pitcher's mound and I take my ball back and I really want to get a strike with all my heart. I mean, I really do. And I pull back and I let that ball fly. Ball. I do it again. Ball two. Oh, Lord. God, will you help me with this situation? Father, I give it into your hands, Father. I ask you, Lord, to just show me what you want me to do. Lead me along, God. Do I take that job or not? Do I marry that woman or not? What do I do, Father? Now listen, God will say to you, throw the ball. Or we call it pray. Timothy, pray. Timothy, throw the ball. Paul, throw the ball. John, throw the ball. Karen, throw the ball. Pray. Will you pray? Pray again. Pray. You pick up that ball, you rear back, and you let that ball go, and you know what happens? Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit making intercession for our prayers. He guides that ball right down there and strike. But you've got to pitch. You've got to throw the ball. You have got to throw that ball and let the Lord God Almighty, as you pray according to the Word of God, guide that prayer right into a strike zone so that you get a strike every time as you pray according to the will of the Holy Spirit. And to change your life. It will radically change your life. Now, as we pray, there are things that we don't know how to pray about. Did you know that the Bible in Corinthians and in Romans actually tells us that you can pray just by going, a situation's present and it's pressing upon your heart and you don't know how to pray. And you just go, oh, Lord. The Holy Spirit says, I got it. Takes that cockeyed curveball that was going to be a whole, pitch outside the whole realm. And he adds to it and sends it right down the middle. And it's good news. As he intercedes for us. Also, the Bible tells us that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, the thing shall be established. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ is praying for us. He is the mediator. He is the go-between between men and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. That word literally means he spent himself as a buyback. He bought humanity back. It means to buy back. He was the ransom for all. How many? All. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's all. This is a heavy statement, people, because by this, a lot of people have gone astray. Number one, people say that this means everybody's going to be saved. There's a man on TV that you watch almost daily that believes that. That nobody's going to be lost. Everyone's going to be saved. And that's not what this is saying. It means this, that all men everywhere have not only the opportunity, but now the responsibility to accept Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth, Paul says, in Christ, and I'm not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Therefore, verse 8, I desire. What a man. I love this guy. Therefore, I desire that men pray. And ladies, this word is men as in male. Men. Male men. Not women. But we'll get to you next week. Okay? But the interesting thing is this. Paul is saying, men, you better be praying. That men be praying everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Some people in here see some people in here singing songs with hands lifted up. That means they're taking the words to that song and they're offering that up as a prayer. That's all that means. It doesn't mean you're Pentecostal and floating around and bouncing off the wall. It means you're offering that song to God in a prayer. Okay? But listen, the prerequisite is that the hands be holy. James tells us to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James also went on to say that a double-minded man will not get anything from the Lord. When we come to God and we pray, lifting up hands, they need to be holy hands. That doesn't mean perfect hands. It means hands that are set aside to the work of the Lord, to the will of God. And so when we lift our hands, we need to pray to the Lord with a sense of holiness and wonder and righteousness. Oh, Father, Lord, bless this body. Cause this church to pray. That is my prayer for this body. Lord, make this church a praying church. Make this church a dynamic church. After all of this, Jack, after the exhortation to be in supplication, to be giving thanks and intercession, and we should pray for our ones in authority that we have this assurance because Jesus Christ is the mediator. I can go right into the presence of God and pray. If the Word of God abides in my life and I can pray according to the Word of God, expecting an answer back, then why don't I get an answer? What's the problem? And we'll be done with this. Number one, you may have gotten your answer. The answer might be wait. It might be yes, it might be no, it might be wait. It may also be people that God is not hearing, even a believer. And what am I saying after saying what I've said? It is this. In Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that our God is not, his ear is not deaf that he cannot hear, neither is his arm short that he cannot save you. But your sins have separated you from your God so that he cannot hear. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Psalm 66, 18 tells us that if we regard iniquity, sin in our hearts, he will not hear. Jesus said to believers, if you will not forgive your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. We can be born again. We can be Christians walking in all of our Christian duty, in all of our Christian activity, and yet be out of fellowship with God and not hearing the voice of God and not getting answers to prayer because we can't forgive our brother or we can't forgive our sister. We are somehow holding iniquity within our hearts and God can't get through. That's a heavy thought. We need to search our hearts always. This thing about standing with hands, that's a Jewish custom, and I love it. The Bible says that he who is not a Jew outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, who has the circumcision of his heart. And so by right of being grafted in, we have the right to raise our hands, our palms to God and say, Lord, I pray, Father, for my wife, for my husband, for our nation. God, I pray for the president. I pray for this city and this county. We have that right. We have that authority. Our hands need to be holy and clean. Nothing bothers me more than when I'm in counseling or I'm in the hallway with somebody and somebody's at the end of their rope and they're all frustrated. And it bugs me when somebody says, I've been praying about this and nothing's happened. Well, wait a minute. And they're biting their nails and they're all wigged out. They haven't been in prayer. You know what they've been doing? They go, God, and they begin to argue and complain. Well, if you were God, why don't you do that? And if you were this, and how come? And I don't understand. What are you doing? Complaining, complaining, complaining. And God's going, man, easy. And then we call it prayer. And we walk out and we're stressed, man. Our heart's going, oh, praise the Lord, I've been in prayer, man. And all, you know, I look like Don Knotts, you know, wigged out. Listen, it's never God's fault, ever. Never, ever, never, never is it God's fault, ever. Okay? I want to share this with you, and we'll end. This week, I got a call to go see a girl in the hospital, and I didn't want to go. I finally had a chance to sit down and to open up a book. Oh, man. And I started complaining. Oh, brother, I can't believe it. Oh, well, here I go off to go do God's work. Bless me, Lord. It's a good thing. There were clouds in the sky. I could have got hit by lightning, you know. I could have been hit by lightning without the clouds in the sky. And I'm going up there, and God began to speak to my heart, and I said, okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm just, okay, I'm available to do what you want me to do. And I go in there, and I go to this hospital, and I go down to this room, and in, down to the hall, and into this room, and there's a girl sitting there who's literally, I mean, shaking like this with fright and fear. And I said, what's the matter? And she's had a heart condition, and she says, I'm afraid my heart's going to stop. Because it's this beeper thing's been going off, and so much and so great a fear that they had to admit her to the hospital because she had so much fear. I thought she's going to have a heart attack. And I went up there and I sat down there, and you know what? I went right to Romans 8:28. We went to 1 Peter. And we began to talk about casting our cares upon God because he cares for us. We began to talk about, if you're a Christian, honey, then all things work together for good. And you know what the serious thing is? Every one of you in this church, you know that verse. And this is what God showed us on that hospital bed. We had a Bible study. I was late to another appointment because we had a Bible study at that room. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit began to minister to her, and the shaking started to go away. Her countenance, she had a big crease in the middle of her forehead because of stress, and it went away. And then she starts talking about scriptures, and we start talking. And you know what happened? I wish you could have been there, every one of you. The burden that she had been carrying, you could literally feel it being transferred to Jesus. You could feel it, and you could see her face change. And we sat there, and then we were about maybe 45 minutes had gone by, and I said, why are you in here? And she goes, because I was worrying. Because I was anxious. And she just went, that's it, isn't it? This is it. I've been in the Word. I've given it over to him. And I feel fine. And right then, the doctor was standing behind. I was sitting down. The doctor was standing behind in the doorway. And he said, how are we doing today? She goes, I'm doing great. That's a miracle. As far as I'm concerned, it's always a miracle when a person will take the Word of God and apply it to their own life. And here's the horrible thing. We have it up here. But do we have it here?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, an epistle that gives valuable advice to us believers who want to learn the value of Scripture and the responsibility of maintaining the truths of God's written Word. Now remember, this is one of a number of letters written by Paul, and to better understand their historical and cultural context, the book of Acts, which is an historical narrative, serves as quite possibly the best companion to these New Testament letters. Well, we just finished a fascinating series through the book of Acts, which mentions Timothy, Rome, Philippi, Galatia, in other words, the people and churches in these cities to which Paul wrote. So to hear the series from the beginning, we've condensed its entirety all onto one convenient MP3 CD. And our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio, of any amount, we'll send it to you. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Starting with our phone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO, or click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of this information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.